The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the NBA. One team gets its championship rings. Another looks ready to win theirs. We've got you covered right off the top. Ben, if the Saints don't go marching all the way in, is it a disappointment? Wait till you hear what their coach had to say about that. And the Steelers have fallen. The question is, in the next 2 weeks, is there any way they get back up? We've got all the answers as we get up with you, starting right now on a Wednesday, and delighted not to be alone in our Seaport studios. Greeny, Graziano is back in better than ever, and the fellas are ready to go talking football today and plenty of it. Ryan Clark, Dominic Foxworth are fired up and ready to go. We have a lot to get to, but we begin, ladies and gentlemen, with opening night in the NBA and the game of the night. Lakers, Clippers, Lakers getting their rings. That's number 4 for LeBron James. And this year, Kawhi Leonard hopes to play spoiler. Pick this up in the first. Lakers already down 11. Anthony Davis, double team. We're going the other way. Kawhi, Lou Williams. Lou Williams, yes, he had 11 off the bench. Clippers were red hot early. We're still in the first. The Clippers lead is 14. Kawhi to the basket. Kawhi, oh, he's got the space. Kawhi, 26 points in 34 minutes. Lakers down 20 after one. But here they come. Second quarter, it's a 12-point game. Anthony Davis on the baseline. He had 18 in 31 minutes. Lead is 10. Under 2 minutes till the half. They've cut it to 5. LeBron James, he's a week away from turning 36. He looks pretty good out there. Lakers down to a 2-point game at halftime, outscoring the Clips by 18 in the second. Third quarter, Clippers up 4. We got a ball game. Kawhi, no. Lakers, transition, Dennis Schroeder, LeBron, liftoff. LeBron throws it down, 22 points on 28 minutes as he begins year 18 in the NBA. It's a 2-point game. Later in the third, Clippers are up 3. Paul George took this over late. Remember all the late game struggles in the bubble? No such thing last night. That makes it a 6-point game. Then under 7 to go, Clippers are up by 9. Paul George would score 33 points on the night, knocking this one down for a 4-point play. So 33 for PG. Kawhi had 26. Clippers win the opener, 116-109. Meanwhile, Kevin Durant, welcome back to the NBA, making his debut with the Brooklyn Nets against KD's former team. The Warriors and Steph Curry were a minute in, and here it is. First bucket in a year and a half for KD, knocking down a 3. He looked comfortable, and so did his teammate. Take a look at Kyrie Irving. Corner, 3-ball. Yes, KD and Kyrie combined to outscore the Warriors in the first quarter by themselves, 27-25. Nets stay hot. Late in the second, that's KD. He had 12 in the first half. Under 20 seconds to go in the half. Warriors down 17. Steph got space. Yes, he would lead the Warriors with 20 for the game, but the very next play, Kyrie, all the range. 31 feet, and it's good. Kyrie had 24 points in the first half. Nets up 18 at the break. Third quarter, Brooklyn is up by 20. Off the inbound, DeAndre Jordan. Oh, he throws it down hard. The Nets firing on all cylinders. Later in the third, they've got depth. Spencer Dinwiddie, Kevin Durant, KD, 22 points, 5 boards, just 25 minutes of action. Kyrie at 26. Steve Nash, his first win as a head coach. Nets take it in a blowout. KD, how'd it feel?
I know it's a lot of emotions and a lot of, you know, I got so many calls and texts about, you know, playing again. For me, I was just like, oh, I got to focus on the first possession, for, you know, and then try to get through that and then move on each possession. So I try not to make too big of a deal out this whole thing. And, you know, realize I've been playing this game since I was 8 years old, so I just got to revert back to what I know.
From the NFL yesterday, and it's not a good one, the Washington football team says it is aware of pictures on social media showing quarterback Dwayne Haskins not wearing a mask while attending an event with strippers over the weekend. According to ESPN's John Kime, who covers the team, Haskins is telling people he hired the strippers for a private party at a hotel suite. One way or another, Haskins, who has made his Twitter account private, posted a statement before doing so, and the statement says, "I want to publicly apologize for my actions this past Sunday. I spoke with Coach Rivera yesterday, took full accountability for putting the team at risk. It was irresponsible and immature of me, and I accept responsibility for my actions." So let's come out and talk about this here. It's obviously not a fun topic. And Graziano, let us start with you. What can you tell us about the way the organization is reacting?
Well, they're upset, obviously. They're likely to discipline him in some way. What form that takes remains to be seen. He's already been fined once this year for a COVID violation. It's conceivable, due to the concept of escalating discipline, that he could be suspended. But Washington has a tricky situation because they don't know if Alex Smith is going to be back and healthy in time to play this weekend. They are trying to win their division. Taylor Heinicke is the only other quarterback on the roster. They may need Haskins to play this weekend, and that's what makes it most disappointing for them. They were hoping that this young man in his second year in the NFL would start to show a higher level of professionalism, a higher level of maturity than what they've seen behind the scenes from him. And obviously, an incident such as this shows that he isn't.
And how about just COVID speaking, taking all of the judgment pieces out of it, if indeed that he is there on Sunday, yeah, he's not in masks, they're not in masks. I assume there's testing and all the rest, yes, of that. Like, do we know for certain he's even going to be eligible to play this weekend?
Well, all NFL players and personnel are tested every day. So if he was exposed and he tests positive, then he would have to go on the COVID-19. If they found out, this is going to sound silly, if they found out someone he was with in the video had tested positive, then he would have to obviously be on the COVID list as a close contact. But I don't think that's going to affect his availability, just the fact of the video, the fact of his interaction. But, I mean, you know, the stuff you're hearing, like, people are yelling into the phone, you're talking to him. His coach had cancer. Yeah. Like, how do you put your team and how do you put the people around you at risk like this? Just a crazy, ludicrous decision.
Yeah, as I said on the radio yesterday, this is not a moral judgment. This is a judgment. It is a judgment. It is about the judgment that he shows or doesn't. Ryan Clark, I'm just going to give you the floor here. When you heard this story, what thoughts went through your mind?
It's unacceptable. It truly is, and it shows a lack of self-awareness. It shows a lack of empathy. It shows a lack of concern and compassion for those around you. This is one of those things, like, if you don't care about yourself, care about the other people. Care about Ron Rivera, who we were all just excited, got an opportunity to ring the bell after his last chemotherapy treatment. Care about the players in your locker room. Care about your family members. Care about the other guys in this league. Care about your peers, the staff members. And also, don't be a dummy, right? DBD, don't be dumb. There's a perception of you that you are unprofessional. There's a perception of you that you are immature. So you're just going to hand it to them on a platter? You're not going to think that pictures are going to be taken? You're not going to think that videos are going to be out? And listen, everybody like to get their T-Pain on every now and then, right? Make it rain, get bands, do those things. Don't do them in 2020 during the football season. Don't do them during a pandemic. Don't do them when you have people around you who are at high risk. And the other part of it is, and I know people get tired of hearing about black and white, but let's be honest. Black quarterbacks have had to fight a perception of not being smart, of not being professional, or not having the level of accountability to play the position. And in the year where four of the quarterbacks that got elected to the Pro Bowl are black quarterbacks, this is another setback. This is another opportunity for people to say, see, I told you, look at this. Right. They said that he wasn't smart enough. They said that he didn't work hard enough. They said that he wasn't professional enough. And now you give them a reason to continue talking. So you can just miss all of the things that I mentioned before about your head coach that shows that you don't care about him. You can miss all of the things that says, OK, you are not protecting the people around you. And just think about it from a football perspective, from a leadership perspective. This is unacceptable. It needs to be punished. It needs to be addressed. I don't know how you can do that because you need him to play quarterback this week, but this cannot happen.
Dominique, what do you think?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's hard to add anything to what Ryan said because he put it so perfectly. It sounds like a grown-up talking. Unfortunately, it doesn't feel like Dwayne Haskins is there. But I don't need to pile on Dwayne Haskins. Everybody's already made it clear why this was done, dumb and unacceptable. And to Ryan's point, like going to a shake club or having some dancers over to your suite, like that's not that big of a deal if you don't take into account all the context that we have surrounding you and surrounding this current situation. So I think that's what makes it so disappointing. And to another one of Ryan's points that he just made, I you said if people are tired of hearing black and white, like that's, I frankly don't care. Then they can get us off TV because I don't think that's something that we can separate from the sports world in this situation. I do think that it's important. It's unfair that there's a different expectation and a different level of responsibility for black men or black people, frankly. But it is true. And it happens when you do things like this. It reinforces the conscious or unconscious biases that exist out there that hold people back like you. So you have a responsibility to your coach, you have responsibility to your team, you have responsibility to your family, you have responsibility to your community, but you have responsibility as a black man, as a black quarterback. And I believe, Ryan, this is the second year in a row that we had four black quarterbacks in the Pro Bowl. So we're headed in the right direction as far as quarterbacks are concerned. And I know that Dwayne Haskins, whether he woke up and watched this show this morning or not, is not looking for all this weight or baggage. But whether you know you're carrying it or not, you are carrying it. It's a part of your responsibility. It takes some of us longer to learn that than others. And from a football standpoint, all that really matters is how well you play. As sadly as sad as that is, that's all that really matters. We've all been on teams and we've all watched games and watched teams and found and seen guys make awful decisions off the field. But you know what? If they ball, we find ways to excuse it. We find ways to say popular or say positive things about them. The problem for Dwayne Haskins is he has all the physical ability in the world, but he's falling short. He's a bust by all measures right now, and it's not because of his physical abilities. And that's what makes this really harmful to him, is this, like, echoes the reason why he's been unsuccessful on the field. Like, this is a reflection of poor decision-making. This is a reflection of immaturity. Those are things that people suggest why his great talent hasn't turned into him being a great quarterback. So this was a really sad story. Like, it was funny to some degree to watch this guy kind of blow another opportunity like a broken Nintendo cartridge, but it's also sad because you're watching him blow another opportunity.
Yeah, again, the football context of this is that depending on the injury to Alex Smith, he may actually be their starting quarterback in a game in which they can clinch the division against Ron Rivera's former team, the Carolina Panthers. So there's so much football context around all of this. Let's see how it plays out as the week goes on. Meanwhile, let's turn our attention to more traditional football conversation, and it means this. What is going on with the Steelers? Every week it seems to be something different. In week 13 against Washington, it was all the drops. They dropped 7 passes, their most in a game over the last 15 years. That handed them their first loss of the year after starting 11-0. Then they followed that up last week at the Bills. They converted just 10% of their third downs in Buffalo. That was tied for their second worst in a game that Ben Roethlisberger had started, so that felt bad. But then it seemed they had a get-right opportunity on Monday night against a bad team in Cincinnati. But they were the bad team that night. Big Ben completing only 8% of his passes that he threw at least 10 yards downfield. That was the worst by Roethlisberger in a game that he finished over the last 15 seasons. So just in every conceivable way, it has been a precipitous slide for the Steelers. And so, Ryan Clark, I start with you as my former Steeler here. I feel like all season long, I've been trying to get you more excited about the Steelers than you've wanted to be, back to when they were, you know, putting together this perfect run. Now maybe I'm starting to see a little bit of why. Can they turn this around in the next 2 weeks?
Can they? Yeah, they can. Will they? I don't necessarily believe they will. Sometimes you just don't have the people. And you look at defensively, they've lost those guys, the Bud Duprees, the Devin Bushes. You're not even playing with Spillane and Vince Williams at linebacker. But when you watch this offense, where's the physicality? Where's the inversion of the line? Where's the inverting of the line? You look at a 3rd-and-1 that Snell barely got. It's because the linemen were in the backfield. And now you go to your aging quarterback. And I said it a few weeks ago. They're putting too much on Ben Roethlisberger. You have no run game. You have no play action game. You try to throw short passes in order to create shorter gains, to get runs and catches, to try to pick up first downs. And you can't push the ball down the field. So where do you go? That's all of football. You're not making the turnovers and pressuring the quarterback and getting things done defensively. You can't move the ball offensively. And when you lose a game to the Washington football team who is playing better, you say, oh, okay, that happens. And then you come back and you lose to the Buffalo Bills, who are probably the second best team in football. You say, okay, that happens. But the Cincinnati Bengals, with Ryan Finley, a dude that they didn't necessarily even know if they wanted to start and play the football game, Those are things you can't do. As players, you have to have a certain level of pride. Of players, you have to understand that you need to fix things. And the Pittsburgh Steelers don't seem like they have the ability to do that right now. My question is, who can they beat in the playoff picture?
Right.
This week, we have a chance to find out.
That's the most damning part. That's the most damning part to me is that they came off of two losses in a primetime Monday night game. Like, in a normal situation, you might drop a game to a team that's worse than you, and you say, we were overlooking them, or we weren't ready for this game. We weren't up for this game. They were up for this game. They gave the Bengals their best shot, and their best shot was not good enough. When you come off of two losses and you're a Monday Night Football, you're going to play as hard as you can. You're going to game plan as hard as you can. And then they got outplayed, and I think Ryan touched on a lot of the reasons, but their offense is bad because they put too much pressure on Ben, and that makes their offense bad, which ends up putting too much pressure on their defense. Like, their defense is not bad, but they're asking them to do too much at this point in the season, and it doesn't make sense. I don't know what team showed up for that game on Monday night, but I don't have much faith. You asked the question, Ryan, that I don't have an answer to. Who are they going to beat in the playoffs? I can't think of too many teams that I feel confident that they are better than at this point.
Yeah, they play Indianapolis this weekend, Brian, you were touching on there, which is a critical game. If they lose that, then the division could get away from them the last weekend of the season. And Graziano, that's the sort of the short-term picture. Let's look at the big-term picture. You said something yesterday that had everyone going crazy here on our set. What is Ben Roethlisberger going to cost them next year?
Cap number next year, $41.25 million. That's his cap number next year. Unless they can knock that down by extending him, but then you're kicking the problem down the road a little bit, right? So they have a...
They have a problem. Lot of decisions to make. So then, RC, I come back to you as, a former Steeler. This is an era. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is one of those few players who constitute an era on a team. Does it feel to you like we may be seeing the end of the Ben Roethlisberger era this month?
I mean, we've always known it was close, right? We've been waiting for this. It's like when John Coffey was finally walking the green mile. We knew it would happen. We fought it. We didn't want it to happen. Tom Hanks did his best to not let it go down, but it did. And that's where we are right now with Ben Roethlisberger. And it's one of those things where if your emotions get involved, you say to yourself, okay, we can't get rid of Ben. Ben should finish this the way he wants to. But then when the business of football gets involved, this is an issue. When his cap number is going to be close to a David Mulligetta year of commissions on representing Deshaun Watson and Jalen Ramsey, that's an issue. When his play doesn't match that, that's an even bigger issue. And that's where we are now. I don't see how this team moves forward thinking they can win a Super Bowl with Big Ben playing the way he is and also with Big Ben costing what he does.
So does that mean, Dominique, that we're about to see something we haven't seen in what feels like forever, which means a true rebuild in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I doubt that we see that. It doesn't seem like, and Kevin Colbert's one of the best GMs in football, and it doesn't seem like that's the way that they operate. They don't operate in a true rebuild type of way. They're going to try to retool, and Mike Tomlin's the same way. He's never had a losing season. So I don't think they'll have a true rebuild, but I do think they probably need to move on from Ben if there is no way to restructure this contract. And since Ryan's making the movie references, I was reminded of Malcolm X when everyone was outside of the hospital and Malcolm X went to the Fruit of Islam like this. Like, this is what Kevin Colbert should do to Ben Roethlisberger. Just like Malcolm did to the Fruit of Islam. Go ahead. Stop. You got to go. That's as simple as that.
He just said, did Adam Schefter not just report 2 days ago that Ben says he wants to come back next year?
Yeah, and that's the issue, right? Because they probably can't bring him back on the contract as it currently stands. So what do you do? Mm-hmm. Do you extend him? How can you extend him if you're not sure he's going to be able to perform at a high level and pay him that money? They have a major, major puzzle.
We will try and figure this out as the day continues. We also have a question for you. It's on my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny on Twitter. Which of the AFC North teams that figure to make it do you think winds up being the last one standing next month? Steelers, Browns, Ravens, at ESPN Greeny on Twitter. Cast your vote. Let us know what you think. Meanwhile, Graziano, let's run the hurry up through some other news and notes. And we start with this news on coaching interviews.
Interesting. As of today, teams that have head coach openings or interim head coaches, Detroit, Houston, Atlanta, can interview over video chat coaches that are still employed by other teams. It's a major change. It could allow a guy like Eric Bieniemy to start doing coaching interviews as early as this week. We'll see what happens. Obviously, your team has to give permission for you to do it, so we'll see how that process goes. But a change to how head coach interviews are conducted starting this week. The 49ers signed quarterback Josh Rosen off the Buccaneers practice squad. You may not have remembered that he was on the Buccaneers practice squad, but the former top 10 pick is now a 49er because Nick Mullins is hurt, won't be able to finish the season. They don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be back this year. The Niners have a quarterback conundrum going forward, but for now they need extra bodies in there. They're going to take a look at Josh Rosen. And speaking of quarterbacks, the Raiders don't know who their quarterback's going to be for this weekend's game. Derek Carr was able to get in some practice yesterday, split the first team reps with Marcus Mariota. The team wants to see if Carr can get through the week healthy and then make a decision about who the quarterback will be for this weekend's game.
That's a critical game, by the way. It's a playoff battle for them against Miami. As we continue, New England's playoff streak has ended with Cam Newton taking the snap. So who will their quarterback be next week and next season? We talk about that. Plus, despite successful regular seasons, the Saints have a recent history of painful playoff losses. Is it fair to ask if they peak too early? We'll get to that and more. Get up on ESPN. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Get Up is brought to you by Disney and Pixar's Soul, streaming this Friday only on Disney+. All right, Dominique, how about this? After winning the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, Nevada head coach Jay Norvell was doused with a bucket of French fries, followed by the more traditional bucket of Gatorade, but Nevada would get penalized because the fries spilled onto the field. Are we good with that?
I mean, I guess if you're from Idaho, I don't know many other things about Idaho besides potato, but they should be off the hook for the Gatorade. You douse me with potatoes, you don't get to douse me twice.
That's, I don't know what to say about it exactly, except that it's a hilarious visual. Coming up, only a few spots remain. Who's going to have a seat when the regular season stops? We'll answer that question and more. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up with some NFC either-or questions. Dominique Foxworth, NFC wildcard, Arizona, Chicago. Who you got?
Yeah, I think you got to go with Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. They aren't a perfect team, but they're playing better. Kyler Murray seems to be healthy again, making a lot of plays. But I'm certainly not going to bet on the Bears in this situation, though Trubisky has come on a little bit. He hasn't been reliable by any stretch. So, yeah, I think you got to stick with the Cardinals in this situation.
Bears have a very winnable game this week with Jacksonville. Then we'll see. RC, next up, NFC West, Seahawks, Rams. Who you got?
I'm going to take the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks win the head-to-head matchup against the Rams. That'll be in Seattle. They've been playing better defensively. And you look at that second half of the Los Angeles Rams games, that was kind of when it started. And then the Seahawks finished with the San Francisco 49ers, whereas the Rams finished with the Arizona Cardinals. I just think they have a better schedule. I think right now they're playing a little better football, and Russell Wilson finds a way to get it done.
And the Rams just lost to the Jets. Meanwhile, Graziano, Washington or the Giants in the East? Who you got?
This is an ugly one, that's for sure. But I will take Washington. They have the tiebreaker edge on the Giants. They have the tiebreaker edge on the Giants. No, they lost to 20.
The Giants have the tiebreaker.
I have no idea what I'm talking about. It's probably going to be the Giants now. Washington is my pick, but obviously I'm an idiot.
Washington will wind up winning that division, he says. Meanwhile, let's talk about a team that will not only likely win its division, but will have all kinds of expectations on it heading into the playoffs, and that is the New Orleans Saints, who get a lot of praise for their performance in a loss against the Chiefs on Sunday. But despite the good vibes, Sean Payton was asked yesterday why anyone should expect the Saints to go on a title run given the team's postseason struggles and heartbreak the last 3 years. Here's what he said.
I think there's a little laziness relative to research and saying, well, they get to the playoffs, they're one and done. Not really. Will it need to be the Super Bowl? Yeah, probably so. I mean, but you know what? That's a good measuring stick, and that gives you an indication of how organizationally the culture's changed.
So I thought that was a very interesting thing for him to say, Dominique Foxworth. As you heard it, what's your reaction?
You know where I stand on these sorts of things. Good coaches like Sean Payton recognize that they can use the media to their advantage. He is talking to his players. He's resetting their mind. He's finding something to point to, an enemy that they can all look at. Right now, he's just saying, like, no one thinks we can do it. He's doing the same thing that coaches do. He's a smart man. He's doing this right now. But I think that all the things he said also are very true. The culture in that organization must be incredible to consider that they bounced back from the Minnesota Miracle and also that missed pass interference call to be able to still be competitive going forward. Like, stuff like that crushes teams. So I think he's right, and I think this team has not peaked too early. They'll be fine in the playoffs, and peaking too early has nothing to do with Drew Brees' arm strength, which I think is going to be the deciding factor on how far they go.
Well, listen, I have to say this, Dominique. I agree with the first part of what you said, which is that I think Sean Payton is talking to his players through the media. I have to disagree with the second part. They have peaked too early the last few years. That may not be the reason they get knocked out. But Ryan Clark, it feels to me like 11 weeks into the season every single year, they look like the best team in the NFL. And by the time they get to the playoffs, they don't. I don't think that's an unfair way to characterize the way the last few years have gone in New Orleans. What do you think?
I mean, I think they've played extremely well during stretches of certain seasons, and they lost some games. I mean, you can't expect Stephon Diggs to catch a ball and Marcus Williams to run right by him. You can't expect an official to be looking at Roby Coleman, hit a guy before the play, hit him in his helmet, and not throw a flag. And so those aren't excuses. Those are things that just happen. And yes, you have to win the football game, but I don't see it this way. Listen, when Master P, when they dropped the True album, they thought that could have been their height. But later on, we got Make 'Em Say right? We signed Mia X. We signed Mystical. And that's what the Saints have done. Every year they've come back and found ways to be competitive. It is about a culture. It is about a belief. And so when you look at this team going into the playoffs, playing great defense still, Drew Brees having to get back into rhythm, and where they were against the Kansas City Chiefs in a game where Drew didn't play well early, this is one of the best teams in the NFC. And they have to get breaks. Things have to go right. But that's everybody. That's every season. And I think the Saints are right in the thick of the NFC hunt, just like the Packers, just like the Seahawks, just like the Buccaneers. This isn't a team you want to play or you can count out right now.
What's the look on your face, Nate?
Oh, no, I just was wondering, I wanted to ask Dan who he thought Emmanuel Sanders is. Is he Snoop Dogg, Mia X, Mystical? Who is he in this analogy? Who do they sign? Yeah, obviously, I'm giving you a chance to bounce back from your rough start earlier.
You're not putting me in the best position to succeed, I got to be honest with you.
That's exactly right. That's terrible coaching. Dominique, that's just awful coaching. You got to know your talent, okay? That's like actually asking Mitch Trubisky to play the West Coast offense.
Right. That's terrible coaching. One. I gave him multiple choice. That's an easy dunk. Just say, I don't know, mystical. And I would have said, way to go, taking over for the 99 in the 2000.
Hopefully when we do the show live, we'll get all this right.
If I could somehow circle this back to the place that I thought it began, it would be to say that part of it, look, I understand that that game they lose to the Rams, it might be the worst call of all time, but the reality is they didn't play well that day. And they didn't play well in the playoff game last year against Minnesota when they lose at home. And they have looked, and part of it might be that Breeze, we
Greeny,
have said consistently.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Can I sit in your seat, Greeny? Can I sit in your seat? Every season, can you pick the winner of the Super Bowl by how they're playing in Week 11?
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Right. So we can't now place this on the Saints and say that they underachieved in the playoffs. Getting to an AFC championship, even when you're the number one seed, is difficult. And losing that game happens from time to time. I don't necessarily know that it's about peaking in during the middle of the season as it is executing in those moments. There's been some moments that they haven't executed, but that isn't to say that they peaked too early and weren't in the hunt late in the season.
Come on, Dan. You got something to say. Save yourself, Dan. Say something smart.
We're supposed to go to NBA. I was at those last two Saints playoff losses. They had the chance to win the game, even after the pass interference penalty.
Dan.
They played lousy against the Vikings last year. You can learn from those experiences and be a better January team.
Yeah.
And that does not mean that you're a terrible team or that you can't win the Super Bowl. But
That's
they have to do better
right
in those
there,
games.
Cross
they have
to. That is analysis. Way to go. Way to bounce back, boy.
There we go.
Just don't ask me about the tiebreaker.
Marking that. We're coming back to the NFL. But if you're just joining us, we began with the NBA, whose season began last night. And that meant the return of that man, Kevin Durant, making his debut as a Brooklyn Net with his new teammate, Kyrie Irving. And the two of them were on fire early. That is Durant's first bucket in his return. It's a three. And then Kyrie Irving would knock one of those down as well from the corner here. Durant and Kyrie combining to score 27 points in the first quarter. Golden State had 25. Nets up 15 right before the half. Look at the range. Kyrie drilling one. He had 24 in the first half. The Nets were up 18 points. Third quarter, the Nets are pulling away. Spencer Dinwiddie to Durant, who throws it down. KD scored 22. Kyrie, 26. Steve Nash, his first win as the head coach, and the Nets win one easily. Meanwhile, the nightcap last night, the Lakers and the Clippers. LeBron James getting his fourth ring as the championship rings were distributed, but it was a night that would belong to the Clippers. Kyrie taking it strong. We're going the other way. Dennis Schroeder to LeBron James. He would throw it down. He had 22 in 28 minutes, but Paul George would take this game over in the fourth quarter. Here he is late in the third, taking it strong, giving the Clippers a six-point lead in the fourth. It's more from George. George knocking down the three. He would score 33 points on the night. Kawhi would add 26. Here comes some of those. Kawhi working on Alex Caruso. Feels like a mismatch. Clippers win it 116-109 to take the opener in what figures to be a good battle all year long, and we should have a bunch of them on Friday. The annual NBA on Christmas Day tradition continues. Five games, noon Eastern on ESPN, Pelicans Heat. Then on ABC, we got Warriors Bucks, then Nets Celtics, then the Mavs and the Lakers on ABC and ESPN, and cap the day with the Clippers and the Nuggets at 10:30 Eastern. Your traditional Christmas Day NBA coming your way here on ESPN. Coming up, even within the same game, we're never sure which version of the Bucks offense is going to show up. Either, neither, or both. What combination of Brady, Arians back in Tampa next year? We answer that question next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The NBA is in a gift-giving mood this Christmas Day. Five games with the biggest names in basketball on the court.
Zion takes on the Heat. Steph squares off against Giannis. And KD and Kyrie head to Boston.
Then it's LeBron versus Luka, followed by Kawhi and the Clippers against the Nuggets.
Greeny. All of the games on ESPN and ABC.
And Get Up and First Take will get your day started telling you what to watch for and what to expect.
A Hoops Christmas to remember, starting with Get Up and First Take.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Here we go. It is that time where I will pose a series of provocative, hard-hitting questions to Dominique Foxworth, and he must answer them whether he wants to or not. And this week, they are good. Here we go with question number one. Either, neither, or both, Dominique. What combination of Tom Brady and Bruce Arians will return for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers next season?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely both. This isn't a situation where this was an abject failure. We're not even at the end of the season yet or even gotten into the playoffs. Like, they might go on a playoff run, although I don't see them doing it because they've been inconsistent. I don't think it's out of the question. I wouldn't be completely shocked if Tom Brady kind of blacks out. Like, it makes me think of like Lil Wayne. There's a mixtape Wayne, there's an album Wayne. Maybe we get mixtape Wayne in the playoffs for Tom Brady, and then they win a Super Bowl and we're all talking about how this was such a great maturation. But the issue with this team is probably coming together. I don't think the way that you solve that is by bringing in a new head coach or getting rid of your greatest of all time quarterback.
All right, that's fair enough. Here comes the second one. Who should be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots next season?
All right, I'm going to cheat a little bit because I think this is going to be my answer for every team that is a contending team going forward. It's Matt Stafford. Like, if I'm any team out there, I think Matt Stafford is probably the top of the list of guys that might be available, because it's clear that the Lions are going to go in a new direction and they're going to be in a rebuild, whether they hire our colleague Lewis Riddick or whoever else to be the general manager and then figure out the head coach situation. So I think Matt Stafford might be looking for a new home, and there's no better place, because the one thing that Matt Stafford probably needs to cement his career is like a real nice playoff run and maybe a championship. And we all know how Bill Belichick does out there with a quarterback, especially a quarterback who's willing to take a discount. And I don't see why Matt Stafford may not be in that position coming up.
I like that one very much, and for what it's worth, out of the corner of my eye, I could see Graziano nodding along as well. He'd like that one too. All right, last one. You said a few weeks ago, Dominique, that you weren't sure if the Dolphins had their quarterback of the future in the building. Now that you've seen a few more weeks of Tua Tagovailoa, do you believe the quarterback of the future is there in Miami, yes or no?
Yes, I am absolutely sure now. I think I was probably guilty of one of the things that I kind of blame on a lot of other people, is expecting everyone to come in and be great. Like, you don't have to be Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. You don't have to be that in your first year. Or even Herbert right now, even though their team isn't good, Justin Herbert's been really great. You don't have to be that, especially when you're in what seems to be one of the most well-run kind of organizations right now and the most well-built for the future going forward. He doesn't have to be perfect. He just has to be smart and make good decisions, not make a lot of mistakes, and maybe make some big plays here and there. And this is just his rookie year. Again, the expectation that you're going to walk in and be a complete quarterback day one is a faulty expectation for any of us to have. He's going to get better next year. That's normally when QBs make that leap, is from their first season to their second season. I think Josh Allen is the only quarterback we've seen who didn't make his leap until later on in his contract. So I think Tua will be better next year, and this team definitely has their quarterback of the future, assuming he stays healthy.
Yeah, you see Allen improving this year. You see Baker Mayfield improving this year into year three. Tua still only in year number one. And it's hilarious, but I think accurate, to say the Dolphins are one of the best-run organizations in this sport.
It is,
but
hilarious.
It does start to feel that way. All right, Neek, well done. Meanwhile, the ESPN Power Rankings are out for this week, and the Titans are the big mover and shaker. They jump from number 8 to number 5. The Bills, after their Saturday beatdown of the Broncos, are now second, only behind the Chiefs, who have won 13 out of 14 games this season. So those are the ESPN.com power rankings. But there are only one set of rankings that we care about on this program, and those are the ones put together every week by Ryan Clark. So, RC, the floor is yours.
And like I always tell you, Greeny, before this kicks off, don't ask nobody no questions about this, because this is my power rankings. And all I got to say to you people who disagree is get your hand out of my pocket, because at number five, we're going straight to the Cleveland Browns. I don't know why they got the Tennessee Titans there. Wow. Didn't the Browns beat them? Didn't the Browns jump out on them right from the beginning? You know why we're not hearing a lot from Baker? Because we are seeing the play. Baker Mayfield is balling. He is now the dude that you expected him to be under Freddie Kitchens last year. And Nick Chubb, you know you got a problem when a running back don't care about his hair being cut. He ain't wearing no wristbands, and he got his socks on just like the uniform dude that's put up in your locker room to tell you how to wear your clothes. And Myles Garrett is a star. He's the dude we be talking about for Defensive Player of the Year if COVID hadn't hit him. The Cleveland Browns are real. The Cleveland Browns have a chance to win the AFC North, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did. And listen, at number four, I'm staying with the Green Bay Packers. Now, the first half of that game, they were good. Aaron Rodgers was balling. We saw Devontae Adams make some plays. Aaron Jones did his thing. Second half, they let their foot off the pedal. The reason they're at number four is because they get to prove something to me this week. When you play Derrick Henry, you play Ryan Tannehill, defense, step up. Don't get ran through like the San Francisco 49ers ran through you. Don't get ran through like Dalvin Cook ran through you. Step up, bow your neck, hit somebody in the mouth. Don't get slapped by Derrick Henry and slid under the bench. Show me that you can play. Show me that everything ain't going to be on Aaron Rodgers, that they shouldn't have went out and got a linebacker. Say that you're a playoff team, you're a Super Bowl team this week, and you might move up. Because at number three, I'm keeping the Saints. And the Saints might not be marching in right now, but they are not peaking. They have not given us the best of what they can be. Drew Brees will get healthy. He understands that he is Pete. He understands that he runs the show. He knows that he's baby, and he's rubbing his hands like this. The chopper style is coming back. It'll be getting the gat like the LSU Tigers were last year. This team's defense is out of its mind. DeMario Davis, Trey Hendrickson, Cam Jordan. On the back end, Lattimore, Gardner Johnson, Janoris Jenkins, Marcus Williams. This team has what it takes, and they have a coach who understands how to get it done, and I expect them to. And at number two, finally, the Buffalo Bills. I am so happy I get to say this so Bills fans can stay off my mentions. The Bills are there. Listen, I haven't seen a glow up like Josh Allen has had since I watched Michael B. Jordan on The Wire, and then I saw him on The Black Panther. That man had a glow up out of this world, and Josh Allen has the exact same one. The dude is in the MVP conversation. He is a star. I believe that he can stand across the sideline for Patrick Mahomes and believe and do match him throw for throw with Stephon Diggs on the outside and a defense that is now turning the football over. The Buffalo Bills are the real deal. They're the second best team in football. It's just an issue that they're on the same side as my number one team, the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs are it. They're like, you know, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. They're like Eddie Kane and the Five Heartbeats when they were together. They're like the Ralph Tresvant-led New Edition, because that is the dude. Patrick Mahomes, he just won't let him lose. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. The other 21 guys can play hard if they want. They cannot play hard. But when Patrick Mahomes, when 15 says, pick it up, they pick it up. He was under siege all Sunday against the New Orleans Saints, and it never mattered. His eyes never went down. His eyes never looked at the rush. All he did was make plays, and he's made the plays 13 of 14 games. And we saw it happen in the playoffs last year, people. It don't matter if you get up. You can't rest. You know what every team is that gets up on the Kansas City Chiefs? They're the Atlanta Falcons. And the reason is because the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes.
That was a masterpiece. I know that I should be talking about the rankings and all that stuff, but I don't care, because you guys probably didn't even catch at the beginning. I made a Malcolm X movie reference at the beginning of the show. RC hit him with the "Get your hand out my pocket." Fantastic. And then he doubled down on the extra old man blackness by putting "the" in front of Black Panther. The Black Panther. Don't nobody do that but old black man. You ain't need to do that. Don't nobody do that but old black man. The movie is called Black Panther, not The Black Panther, but I know you did that for me, and I appreciate it. I love it. I forgot what was going on your whole list. None of it makes any sense. None of it matters. I'm having a good time. I don't know if Greeny or Graz even know what's going on, and I don't care. This show is fantastic. Forget your promo. Watch the game or don't.
to tell on ESPN. Bowl Mania rolls on with two more games starting at 3 Eastern, Louisiana Tech and Georgia Southern in the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, followed by 7 Eastern, the Memphis at FAU game in the Montgomery Bowl. Both games are on ESPN and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, I want you to see this. BYU beat UFC in the Boca Raton Bowl last night. BYU quarterback Zach Wilson threw for 425 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he ran for 2 more. And this is sneaky big news. You may think to yourself, I don't really care that much about that game, but this is why this is sneaky big news. Dan Graziano is going to explain to you why what happened last night with Zach Wilson is something a lot of people should be paying attention to.
Because NFL teams had their eye on that game. Zach Wilson is a prospect and a likely first-round pick, and a game like that gets him in the conversation in terms of who's going to be the second, who's going to be the third quarterback taken in this year's draft. He was outstanding. He has the arm. He has the mobility. He looks like the real deal, and NFL teams are paying attention. So watch out for Zach Wilson over the next couple of months.
That is one of these names you're going to start hearing a lot as we work our way from here until April. We'll talk to Mellon McShay about him as we get a little closer. Meanwhile, coming up, not since Patrick Swayze in Dirty Dancing has there been this much debate over dancing. Why Juju and the Steelers are causing that conversation. No one puts Greeny in the corner.
9 days to the college football playoff semifinals. New Year's Day on ESPN.